All right, what is going on, guys? This is episode 13 of the Boss Talk. Yep, that's right, lucky number 13. Because that's such a lucky number, we decided to stick away from the Patriots talk this episode. We're going to talk mostly about the Celtics because we don't want to jinx the Patriots coming up in 6 days at the Super Bowl, Super Bowl 53. We will, in fact, have a Guy Boston Sports Roundtable episode out this week, you know, with a bunch of people from the staff talking about predictions and just talking about the Super Bowl in general. So stay on the lookout for that. But episode 13 of the Boss Talk, today, tonight, it's going to be about the Celtics. So stick with us. Here we go. I'm down to my last drink. It's time to sell my things. And pack my bags and never look back on a parallel line. All right, let's go. We got episode 13 of the Boss Talk. I'm Ev, and I'm riding solo on this episode of the Boss Talk. Sean can't come on the podcast tonight. However, we will start by talking about what happened this week. And Sean had put out this video a couple weeks ago, but I never really caught it until I rewatched it like a week later. And as everyone knows, Sean's name is Sean Palmer. We know that, right? Well, does Sean know that? Listen to this.
What's going on, guys? This is Sean Palmer. Palmer.
So, because Sean couldn't come on the podcast tonight, I had to include the clip. I had to put him out there. I had to give him a little bit of a roast. My co-host can't even pronounce his last name. Sean, come on. Come on. Now, I should not be one to talk about having brain cells. I'm not the brightest bulb on the Christmas tree or holiday tree. Sorry to everyone that gets offended by that. But, Sean, I can at least say Singleton, my last name. So, Sean Palmley, or palm tree, or whatever the hell you said, Sean. Sean can't be on the podcast tonight, but we're going to try and run with it. We're going to roll with it. Like I said, last time I went solo, we didn't really have too much of a track. Sean usually puts the show notes together, a little behind-the-scenes action there. Sean puts the show notes together. Sean puts the everything into a Google Drive doc, and then we follow along with that. So when you get me, you kind of just get this winging it type of guy. So here we go. We're going to talk Celtics. We're going to jump right into it. A segment that we have not included on the podcast in a while. It's called Check It Out. All it is we refer back to guybostonsports.com, look at an article that was posted within the week, and we kind of go through, either read it, which I'm going to do on this one, or we just talk about it. So I'm going to do both. I'm going to read it and then talk about it. This one was published by, you know, yours truly. It was called My Message to the Celtics Fans Saying Trade Gordon Hayward. Clear the vocal paths. Here we go. I will start by admitting Gordon Hayward has been terrible for the Celtics this season. No one can really argue that. However, it is one thing to recognize that his play has been lacking, and another thing to want to trade him away for pennies on the dollar. Let me ask you this. What and who exactly do you want the Celtics to trade Gordon Hayward for? There's little to no market for him right now, and he is an outrageously paid bench player coming off of a horrid injury. The way I look at it is as if you bought a stock for $30. Then that said stock drops to a value of $1 per share. Is it really worth selling that stock just to get that $1 that you still have? In my mind, it's not. Now, no one is arguing that buying that $30 stock may not have been the best move, but you can at least keep the peace of mind knowing that that stock was once a legitimate $30 stock, and there's a clear-cut reason as to why it tanked. In this case, it's Gordon's ankle injury. So why not hold on to the stock? It really can't hurt you anymore. It's already tanked. The only thing it can do at this point is go back up. You can hope for something to happen, something to click, something to increase the stock's value, something to get it trending towards what it once was. Now I'll say Gordon Hayward is not going to get any worse than scoring 2 points and going 0-for from the field in 20 plus minutes of play in a big Saturday night showdown against Golden State. That's as bad as it gets for any player. Again, this is just the way I'm thinking about it. I totally understand if someone hates his guts and at this point wants to just trade him for that $1 return. Whatever, to each his own, but I just think it would be the wrong move. We know exactly what that reason was as to why that $30 stock dropped. And it's mostly a physical reason. What's to say that stock won't regroup and resurge into being what it once was? The last things fans should want to do right now is trade Gordon Hayward away for a bag of chips and then see him turn right back into the superstar he once was. Patience, Boston. Patience. P.S. Keep in mind, if you were to try and trade Hayward, you need the salary cap to work out with the other team. So even though he's playing as a $1 stock, you'd still need to trade him at that $30 share value, and it's not the easiest thing to do. Now, so far, so good in terms of the response from that article. And it really is just what I'm thinking. Like, what? The only thing I ask, if someone says we should trade Gordon Hayward, my response, and I'm not responding to everyone saying it on Twitter because there's a shitload of you guys, but I'm just saying, for what? Or what's the point? Oh, to clear up cap space. You can't just clear up cap space by trading someone. You can't trade Gordon Hayward, a guy that's making $31 a year, for someone that's making $2 million a year and just be like, oh, well, we cleared up $29 million. It doesn't work like that. The only team is the Kings. They have like $11 million of cap space available. Still, not even a third of what you really need. And also, they wouldn't eat his contract. Why would a team right now be like, yeah, we'll trade you. We'll trade you and bring on Gordon Hayward's contract and just let it eat into our cap? Why would they do that? You know what I mean? Like, he's not performing at that $30 stock value that I, used the analogy. There's no point into trading him. Now, I will admit, I love Gordon. I loved him in Utah. I still think he's going to be really good. I think he's just got to figure it out. Any of us that have come back from a big injury, I tore my MCL probably 8-9 years ago. 7 or 8 years ago. And, you know, my knee still isn't exactly the same, but I'm not working with the best physicians and trainers in the world. Gordon Hayward will be back. Gordon Hayward will be back. But even if you don't like Gordon Hayward, if you're not like me, if you're not a Gordon Hayward fan, then just ask yourself, like I say in what, the second paragraph in that article, make sure you head over to guybostonsports.com and check it out. What are you planning on trading him for? Every other team knows he's not playing well and he's getting paid a max contract. That's not a secret to the other 29 teams in the league. So what and who are you planning on trading him for? He's an expensive piece to move, playing at a fraction of that value. So even if you want to trade Gordon Hayward, you can't really trade Gordon Hayward. No team wants Gordon Hayward right now. So the best thing, and the thing to keep in mind, have a peace of mind on, is that Gordon Hayward once was that superstar player. There's no one to say that he cannot get back there. If you're saying Gordon Hayward will never be the same, then screw you. You have no idea. You don't. I don't have an idea as if he's going to get back there. It's the same exact thing, but the ball bounces both ways. You can't tell me he won't get back there. Just like I can't guarantee that he'll be back. I'm confident that he will. I believe it. Sorry. What are you going to do? What are you going to crucify me because I believe Gordon Hayward's going to be back? Come on now. He's too good of a player inside to not be able to do it on the outside. And guess what? If he's saying that his ankle's not fully 100%, that means his mind is a ways away from getting there. So just back off him for a little bit. Be patient, boss, and be patient. Gordon Hayward's not your problem. He's up there, but he's... Think about him last year. He wasn't even there last year. 5 minutes he played for this team, and they still played a little bit better. They're playing better games than they have this year. Your problem comes down to, I don't know, I hate to say it, but your problem comes down to Jaylen Brown, Brad Stevens, I guess Jason Tatum disappearing too, but realistically, I want to talk about that. Jaylen Brown. The difference between Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum, they're both chucking shots that they don't make. They're both trying to play outside of what they are. But the difference between the two of them, in my mind, is that Jason Tatum, when he takes these crazy fadeaways or these crazy crossovers or ISO ball, a Celtics fan should realize that is the Jason Tatum that we're looking for in the future. Does that make sense? Jason Tatum at his peak is a Kobe-like player. He is a player that's going to go out there and dominate the game offensively. So him taking these spinning fadeaway step back three type of shots, ISO ball and missing, shouldn't really piss you off. I mean, it can. You can. I'm not saying you shouldn't be pissed off, but it shouldn't get to you, and it shouldn't change your opinion on Tatum, because that's what he's supposed to do. He's just supposed to make the shots, which he's not doing right now. Jaylen Brown, on the other hand, thinks he's some sort of Michael Jordan II. Jaylen Brown is doing these pull-ups and taking shots that are well away from his boundary. Jaylen Brown should be trying to go by a guy in one step, a couple dribbles, 1-2, boom, and dunk on the guy. Sorry if that was loud into the mic, but dunk on a guy. Get to the rim. Jaylen Brown should not be trying to play ISO ball. Jaylen, guess what? You're still young. You still might be able to in your future, but you can't dribble for shit right now. You told everyone, including myself, that you were going to be able to dribble this year, you haven't been able to. You told everyone you were going to be able to pass this year, you haven't been able to. You're the same player from last year, which I don't like to see, but I'm not counting you out yet. But I am ready to say you're part, if not the biggest part, of the problem. Jaylen Brown can't even function on a 3-on-1 fast break. If he has the ball, you might as well just hand it to the other team. Seriously, that's the thing that he has to work on. And I hate for this to turn into a roasting of one of the young guys, but you've got to understand, I'm not a Jaylen Brown hater. I hope nothing more that he's a tremendous player for the Celtics. But look at what we've seen from Jaylen Brown in the past, and even at flashes this year, and then look at what we're getting on a night-to-night basis. That's where someone, even if you're a Jaylen Brown supporter, that's where you should be able to say, yeah, I do understand that. Because you know how good he is. That's my gripe with him. I know how good Jaylen Brown can be. I do. I've seen it. It's not just like, oh, he's good and cold. No, I've seen it. I've seen him doing the freaking playoffs. So where is it now? Where is it now? Like, Jaylen, where are you, Jaylen? Why can't I find you? But Jason Tatum's a completely different story. Jason Tatum's a different story. He's not the same player. You're judging them on the same thing. Oh, our two young guys can't make shots. They're not playing defense. Well, guess what? Jaylen Brown's supposed to be a guy that's playing within his boundaries and playing defense. Jason Tatum's supposed to be an offensive takeover guy. So I can't knock what he's doing. I can only knock the result of it for Tatum. Does that make sense? I can't knock the way he's going about it, but I do wish he was making more shots, but he's taking shots that are well within his range. Jaylen Brown, on the other hand, will get the ball with 15 seconds left on the shot clock, dribbling around, take a step back, fadeaway jumper, and clank it. He's done it so many times. And you know what he does do? He has gotten a little bit better. Not necessarily better than last year, but certainly since he was coming out of college. He can hit a little bit. He can hit the threes. He can. But guess what, Jaylen? You're not a sharpshooter. You can hit a three. I'm not saying you can't. But why are you taking 5 to 7 to 8? Sometimes, you know, double digits, do I even dare? Like, I wouldn't put it past him. Why are you taking that many threes? Not that I think he's ever going to take 10 threes in a game. But, like, what's to say so far has stopped me from believing that? Like, Jaylen Brown thinks he's a shooter. Jason Tatum, again, he thinks he's able to make these shots. But guess what? He's still playing within his player. Jaylen Brown is trying to be a player that he's not. And the only way to do that is doing it in the offseason or doing it in practice. You can't just play the Warriors and try to do it. Like, Jaylen Brown, if he didn't take a few of those shots, he would have had a tremendously better game against the Warriors. Because we know he was one of the only ones that showed off the bench. If a couple of those missed threes or missed jump shots, he had just gone by his defender, which he can do. We've seen him do. Guess what? Either the Celtics win or Jaylen Brown is one of the best players in a loss. It's a win-win for him. Just stop trying to be a player you're not. And you know what? If you're like Avery Bradley and a few years into your career, you start to develop this one dribble pull-up over the middle or even a better three, that's fine. I'm not saying you do. But guess what? Jaylen, right now, what is he, 21? Right now, you're not a shooter. So stop trying to be in a game. It's like Marcus Smart. Everyone hated Marcus Smart shooting last year, and then he kind of just stopped doing it for the better portion of this year so far. I mean, I think the worst thing that we saw happen with Marcus Smart is that he started to shoot and make a few of them, because now he does. Now Marcus Smart's back on thinking that he's a shooter, which isn't the best thing. I mean, Lord be with him if he's able to make these threes, but I just don't think on a consistent basis Marcus Smart will be able to. But this isn't about him. This is about Jaylen Brown. Jaylen Brown, in my mind, is still maybe the biggest issue, is the biggest problem. I've seen him not once, not twice, but 3 times get in arguments with a teammate. Twice with Marcus Smart, and then the 1 time with Marcus Morris, and we saw it against, who did they play? We saw it against the Cavs, too. They're blowing this team out, and he's getting into it with Marcus Smart. Jaylen Brown strikes me as a Rondo. And what I mean by that is, the minute he gets all this attention, he's kind of that too smart for his own good type of guy. I believe that. I mean, it might be wrong. Again, I'm not a Jaylen hater. If you watch any of my Celtics Live post-game streams, shameless plug there, make sure you're checking me out on Twitter and Periscope after the games, after almost every single Celtics game. I've prefaced every bit of Jaylen Brown shit talk by saying, I don't hate Jaylen Brown, but I'm just trying to face facts. That's what it is here, too. Like, Jaylen Brown, what have you done for me lately other than argued with teammates? So, Why am I supposed to sit here and be like, no, Jalen's a good teammate? Hasn't been shown. Hasn't been proven to us. Right? We don't know that Jaylen Brown's a good teammate. We haven't seen the altar to him not being a good teammate. Like, I've only seen him get in arguments with teammates. I would say he's probably a good teammate because he's a quiet, low demeanor guy. But I could also see on the other hand, and if you're listening to this, you should probably be able to see on the other hand too, that he's going to be kind of like a cocky, I know more than you do type of guy too. But guess what? All these issues in this long rant about shitting on Jaylen Brown, it's such a simple fix. And the team gets so much better if he does it. Like, Jaylen Brown, if he gets the rock and he wants to score, he clearly is a guy that wants to get his on a nightly basis, whatever, then get it, swing it through. One dribble to the hoop, one, two, and then boom, dunk it on a guy. Go up, finish at the rim, get fouled, make your foul shots. Stop trying to dance around a guy. You're not Kyrie Irving, dude. You're not Jason Tatum. You can't just shoot over everyone. Jaylen Brown, you have the talent. Like, we don't know. I'll say this. I like Jason Tatum more than Jaylen Brown, as do most. We don't know what either one of those guys is going to turn into. Jaylen Brown has just as much of a chance to become a better NBA player than Jason Tatum. I wouldn't bet my money on that, but it's the fact. Like, we don't know. So, Jaylen, do what you can do. Look at Giannis right now. Now, this is a stretch by many definitions. This is not the exact same situation, but Giannis has been shit on for 2 years since he's been really good now. Oh, he can't shoot. Well, guess what? Giannis doesn't give a shit if you don't think he can shoot. You know what he's gotten way better at? You know what he's improved upon? Getting to the rim and dunking it. Like, yeah, he's a different size body than Jaylen. Fine. But you know what Giannis hasn't done? He hasn't just given in and succumbed to the media saying you can't shoot, and then he hasn't gone out there and tried to shoot. Jaylen Brown knows everyone thinks he couldn't shoot. So now what's he doing? He's just trying to shoot. Wrong way of doing it. Jaylen Brown can get to the rim at will, and he can punish the rim and punish the defenders down there. I just want him to do it more. That shouldn't be too much to ask. And you shouldn't think that I'm going crazy and shitting on Jaylen Brown. Use your brain, people. Picture Jaylen Brown highlight right now. Picture a Jaylen Brown highlight. I'll give you 5 seconds. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. All right. Did you picture Jaylen Brown taking a step back through the legs? 3? Did you? Or did you picture Jaylen Brown dunking the ball? You probably just said dunking the ball. That's all it is. Now picture a Jason Tatum highlight. Now you're going to think of him dunking the ball too over LeBron. Picture Jason Tatum's standard play. You're going to picture something like, a little Kobe-esque sort of spin shooting over a guy, which is fine. But Jason Tatum can also finish at the rim. Picture a Kyrie Irving highlight. All these crazy crossover spin moves, probably into a nice, sweet little finish or mid-range jumper. Kyrie Irving isn't out there trying to dunk the ball every time. Kyrie Irving does exactly what he can do good and does it damn good. You know, that's what it is. Jaylen Brown's made plenty of highlight-worthy threes in his career. Doesn't mean he should do it all the time. Doesn't mean that should be his go-to. That's just where I stand. That's where I stand. This team could be so much better if guys like Jaylen Brown played within his boundaries. And I hate to use that word boundaries because it sounds like you're holding it back or holding him back. But you got to at least push the boundary before you try and go over the boundary. And you know what? You know what I truly honestly believe? I think Jaylen Brown's trying to jump over the boundary. Ironically, because he can sky out of the building. He's not a shooter yet. He's not a pull-up jumper. He's not a ball handler yet. He's not a passer. He thinks he is, though. And that's an issue right now. Jaylen, I'm sure you're listening to this. Dunk the fucking ball. All right, we're going to close up shop soon. But before we do that, we are going to get to a few of your questions. And we'll start off right now with Michaela's question. Title City Boston is her handle, and she asks, why do the Celtics struggle to play well on the road? They seem like two completely different teams based on if it's a road or a home game. Michaela, you couldn't be more right. It's like these teams are... I even did it right there. These teams. It's like this team gets invigorated at home. They get the TD Garden behind them, and then they win. Again, I've said this for a lot of things as the excuse, and you know what? It might start being wrong. It might just be an easy answer, but I'm falling victim to it. Youth. The young team. It's always harder to win on the road if you don't have as much experience doing it. And you know what? This team, they stunk in the playoffs last year in the road. I think they only won one away game, and it was against Philly, and it was a barn burner. Maybe overtime. I think that was the confetti game, yeah. So I think that this team, they struggle on the road because it comes down to age. They just don't have that veteran leadership. Kyrie Irving wants to be that guy, but he's not that guy yet. It's so much easier to play with your TD Garden crowd behind you. Hund P asks, should the Celtics give up Kyrie and Hayward for Anthony Davis? If the Pelicans would do that, I would do it. I don't think the Pelicans would do that, though. I really just don't think that they would do it. He also asks, do you think that Giannis would be an option? I don't think the Bucks would trade Giannis for all the players in the world. Giannis is a special guy right now. I really don't think he's going to get traded. And I also don't know if they know what his mind is when it comes to free agency. So I would not think that they're going to jump to any sort of extreme irrational decision. Justin from View from the Cheap Seed Podcasts asks, should the Celtics let Kyrie play wide out in the Super Bowl? Oh boy, I don't know about that. Kyrie's dealing with a hip injury right now. Playing football may not work out for him. I don't think Kyrie's a football guy. I don't see him having the grit or determination to do it. Here we go. This one's from Darth Blunt 47. Why hasn't it been more made about... Sorry, let me reread this. Why hasn't more been made about the fact that the Celtics likely can and will still make a formal offer to Anthony Davis? Sure, it can't be executed until July, assuming Kyrie, but doing so would make them have to be, Darth Blunt 47 asks, why hasn't it been made more clear that the Celtics can offer a formal offer? I do think they will, and I do think that the Pelicans will wait out the league. What's good does it serve to move him right now? That Lakers offer, that Knicks offer, both going to be there come July. It's only 6 months from now. I think that the Pelicans will wait it out. I think they'll want to hear all the offers. It's just smart. If I was the GM, I'd want to hear all the offers. Maybe you like what the Lakers have. And I've been on record saying I do think that they have a better package. But maybe you like what the Lakers have. Well, who knows? Why don't you see come July what the Celtics can offer? You're jumping the gun if you make a move now. Anthony Davis will play the rest of the year here. He's not going to be a malcontent. He just wants to be traded. He's not going to be a malcontent. So I, Darth Blunt 47, I do think that they're going to wait till the end of the year and hear out the Celtics. It's just smart for their franchise. We'll close off from the editor-in-chief of GuyBostonSports.com. KJ Doyle says, why is this the worst day of the season? Basically what happened today. Kyrie Irving is leaving, and Anthony Davis doesn't like us. And he asks, so why shouldn't I jump off a cliff? Well, Kenny, let me hold your hand, take you down a couple steps off the cliff. Kyrie Irving staying in Boston, you can book it.